It's Lucky's really long list of movies. I'm so sorry I'm late, everybody. Hi, sorry. I'm just going to scooch. I know I'm so sorry I'm late. The traffic was crazy. I'm so sorry. Okay, sorry. Coming in. All right. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Lucky's really long list of movies, where I, your host, Lucky Damn Day, I dive deep into my really long list of movies that I have never seen before. I break this list up into categories, and each month there is a new category with four movies to cross off my list. And this month's category is Christmas movie. Christmas movies. Wow, so unique, so unexpected. And I'm sorry I was late to this week, okay? I was late to this Christmas party, and I'm sorry. Okay, all right, disclaimer. Let's throw it down right here, right now. I'm sorry, I keep hitting my desk. That's what that sound is. It is 4:30 in the morning. I don't know if you can tell by my crinkly, crackly voice, but it's 4:30 in the morning, and I start work at 7 a.m., and I'm usually working until 5, and then after I get off at 5, I have to start cleaning my house because it's the holidays, and blah, 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 blah. Right, so the only time that I have to record this episode and to just get it going and get it moving, because I do want to talk about today's movie because it is really fucking fun. It's a fun one. I just punched the mic again. Oh, having too much fun. Okay, so let me get you caught up. I know I'm late and I have the audacity to be like, let me get you caught up. All right, so we have run around barefoot with Die Hard. We fell from the lackluster heavens with Unlikely Angel. And today, we are talking about the cult classic, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, from 1964. Oh yeah, baby. I'm talking colorful, super creative, turn of the century sci-fi flick. And it's Christmas. And it's from the 60s, and I swear to God, Christmas from the 60s, I don't know what happened. I think it was all of, like, the medical cigarettes or something. But Christmas from the 60s, have y'all seen Christmas trees from the 60s? They were literally made out of anything but a tree. It's kind of like when Charlie Brown is sad because, like, all the real Christmas trees are gone, and there's all these, like, aluminum weird trees. And I think that is... That's the 60s. That's a 60s Christmas. So I get it. You know, now you might be thinking, wait, what? Santa conquering Martians? And yes, folks, that's exactly what this movie is about. It is. And he conquers the Martians in his own Santa way. So grab your eggnog, snuggle up, and let's talk about one of the most famous, so bad, it's good movies of all Christmas time. So before we go into talking about how to make a Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, let's do a recap of this bad boy. And I'm not going to rush it. And I'm not going to do it under a minute like I usually do. It is 4:30 in the morning. I think I'm challenging myself quite a bit already. Okay. I think this is the fastest I can talk. What a gift for you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Speaking of the plot, did I or did I not call it in the poster prediction, y'all? I nailed it. I was off about the end, but the rest of it, I'm psychic. Okay. So the movie is about these sad little Martian children, because Martian kids, they don't play, they don't laugh, they don't smile or, you know, enjoy being alive, right? But it's all they've ever known. So, you know, these Martian kids don't know what they're missing. That is until one September on Mars in 1964. the Mars TV television stations, whatever, they start to show Earth television. And the little Martian kids get a look at good old Santa Claus from Earth. And then all of a sudden, the Martian children, they like become like self-aware, and then they start to understand depression, and they start to get curious about things like love and affection and something called a childhood. So now we have sad Martian kids, and the Martian adults are concerned, except for this fuck named Voldar. He's a shitty Martian with a thick 70s mustache. Truly, it's before its time. It was really thick. The Martian adults, right? Everyone but Voldar is like freaking out about these sad little Martian kids. So the Martian adults, they call out to this elder called Chochum. And he is an 800-year-old Martian sage. Chochum is a screamer. And so they call upon Chochum, and Chochum just like appears out of thin air, and he starts to scream, and he screeches this like really long monologue about how mental health of the Martian kids has declined on Mars. And the kids are super sad right now because it's September on Mars, but back on Earth, it's the time of a Christmas. And so the adult Martians are like, "What is a Christmas?" And that is a direct quote from the movie. So Chochum, he starts to screech more and more about this Christmas where this fat guy makes all these kids on Earth happy. So Mars, right? So Chochum is like screeching, and he's like, "Mars needs..." That's literally what he sounded like. So Chochum is like, "Mars needs to have a Santa Claus." Then, you know, Chochum, he disappears without really like locking in the specifics about this advice that he just kind of threw out there. Mars needs a Santa Claus, not the Santa Claus from Earth. So, you know, the Martians are like, "Cool, simple fix. We're going to go stroll by Earth and we're going to steal Santa. Whatever. Easy afternoon chore." But then the Martians, they get to Earth and they see all of the mall Santas, the Salvation Army Santas. Oh my God. Could you imagine if they saw SantaCon? Have you ever heard of SantaCon? Well, okay, if you live in New York, you know about SantaCon. If you live outside of New York, you better never, ever, ever know about SantaCon. Because if you know about SantaCon, then it has gotten so big in New York that the rest of the world knows about it. Or it has gotten so big that it's now in your hometown. And I really hope that doesn't happen to you. So SantaCon, it is the most cursed holiday here in New York City. Okay, so SantaCon is where all of these like financial bros from New York, or all the financial bros in New York, and all the girls that they leave on red, they dress up like Santa and they hop from bar to bar until everyone is covered in tinsel and barf. Bars in New York City, they will ban SantaCon in their establishments, and they will kick people out dressed as Santa. And when I say bar, I don't mean like hoity-toity places. If anything, they're like, "Yeah, financial bros, come on in, SantaCon." Ew. I'm talking my favorite bars. These bars that I like to go to, they will allow synthetic cum and people stapling singles to their titties. But SantaCon? No, that is too much hell. That is too much hell. And it is. It's awful. Gross. It stinks. It smells. It's crusty. It's disgusting. Oh, Krusty Kringle. Chris Krusty. I don't know what we're going to call them. It's, whew, where were we? Right. Stealing Santa Claus. So, long story short, and I mean long, basically, the Martians, they hold these two Earth children by gunpoint, and they kidnap them and force them to find Santa, like little bloodhound dogs. Then the children face some of my favorite characters in the movie. So the children, they're like out in the North Pole and they're like wandering around because they're trying to escape the Martians or whatever, because the Martians kidnap them. They kidnap them and they take them to the North Pole. So the Martians hold these children by gunpoint. They kidnap them, take them to the North Pole. The children escape the spaceship and now they're like running around the North Pole, right? It's super cold. And then they run into a polar bear. A polar bear? A polar bear. They run into a polar bear, which was just a very skinny person in a baggy, rented polar bear mascot outfit. Like a hard line between the head and neck. You know what I mean? Oh my god. And then Torque, like the giant cardboard robot with light up eyes. You know, say what you will about the cardboard set and sequined snorkel goggles. I loved every aspect of each set piece and costume. It was really impressive. It was really impressive. Fuck you. It was really impressive. You could tell someone got creative and did their best. And that's all I ask for. That and maybe like a good story. I do like a good story. And I do like this story, right? I do. I just think it was just like a little long here and there. So the kids end up finding Santa. The Martians find the kids. And then the robot finds Santa's workshop. And this is where we find Santa, right? So Santa is kidnapped and introduced to the children of Mars. Seems like there's only two kids on this planet. Cool. So Santa builds a toy shop and just accepts the fact that he has been kidnapped and forced into labor on a different planet. He's like, all right, gotta hit the hay. Long day tomorrow and forced labor on Mars. There is a bunch of silliness that goes on with the toy factory. Voldar, that mean guy, he keeps trying to like fuck up Mars Christmas and he keeps failing. But then, you know, Santa, he wraps this all up. He wraps up this whole story. Santa, he's like, he's got an idea. There is this dumbass Martian. I haven't mentioned him this whole time. His name is Droppo. And Santa is like, oh my God, you have had a dumbass clown all along. This is your Santa. This is the guy. Droppo became the new Santa of Mars, and the kids are sent back to Earth with Santa just in time for Christmas Eve, of course. And that is the end of the longest... No, this is not the longest recap. The longest recap was Parasite. I took the entire almost 2 hour long episode talking about the plot of that movie. I love Parasite. And I love this movie too. All right. Wow, what a normal recap. Sorry about that. I'll be back on my bullshit next time. Maybe, depends. I truly never know what to expect with these movies because I've never seen them before. So let's jump on my time traveling sleigh and hear what past Lucky had to say about watching Santa Claus Conquers the Martians for the very first time. That's right. It's time to listen to my first take. This is where I watch the movie and I record my first take during the credits. I don't remember how I recorded it this time. I did not do it on the mic, so that must mean I have a video somewhere. Oh, I found it. Okay. All right. Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
This is my first take. Gotta be honest with you, I tried to watch this a couple days ago and I fell asleep and I fell asleep. But that's okay. I just rewatched it and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was pretty bad. There was a lot of bad. Like, it was even some unenjoyable bad. It also makes for a good movie to play and just have it on in the background at a party. Because, like, the plot drags, man. Like, it drags. Like, I was like, come on, let's go. Speed it up here. And it wasn't even that long. My favorite character was the mom Martian. I thought it was fun. I liked all of the sets. The sets were fantastic. That was cool. That was fun. That was a really nice effort. I did not like that Santa's laugh. I thought it was a bit menacing, and I thought it was a little scary. And I thought it was a little mean. I didn't think it was jolly at all. Yeah, that's about it. Bye.
Thank you, Past Lucky. Yeah, no, I still agree with that. I still think that the movie was like a little too long. I think every scene had maybe about 2 minutes that could have been cut off, and it just dragged. It dragged a lot for me, and I did fall asleep the first time I watched it. When I tell y'all I'm getting burnt out, I'm getting burnt out. I passed out when I watched it the first time, and then I was like, all right, let me try this again on a day where I've slept. So not like a day like today. Just kidding. I go to bed really early now. I go to bed like around like 7:30 or 8. Yeah, I know. I can't keep my eyes open. Ugh. Which means I can't socialize with anybody. Anyway, so because everyone hangs out like at 7. Anyway, so Mom Momar, I think was her name. Momar. She's the mom Martian. Bomar is the boy Martian. Germar is the girl Martian, and then Kemar is the king Martian. I guess Kemar sounds better than Domar or Damar. Not really. Oh well, whatever. He had to be the king. So that's my recap. I do agree that the Santa had an evil laugh. His laugh was very like, yeah. Like it was really, it was like a ha, my plan is working kind of laugh. Oh my God, what if that wasn't Santa? What if that wasn't Santa and it was Santa's evil brother Crunch Kringle, the inventor of SantaCon? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's keep it pushing, shall we? There's a lot I want to talk about with this movie, mainly just because I thought this movie was a creative idea. I liked it. And the ideas that this movie gave me, I want to talk about that later. But before we get into all of these ideas that I've gotten, I want to tell you just like a little bit about how do you make this movie? What is this movie? Huh? Does anyone else know about it? Am I the first one to see it? Am I the last one to see it? No. This is a cult classic, as it should be. Let's set the scene. It's 1964. Nobody has a normal Christmas tree. They're all shiny, sparkly fire hazards, or they are completely made out of metal and they cannot be burned, or they're just a blanket on a stick. I've seen trees like that too. So it's 1964. It's a 1960s Christmas, and a guy named Paul Jacobson, who's working in video production, decides to make a Christmas movie, but with a twist. He's thinking, you know what kids really need this Christmas? They need a holiday adventure with Santa Claus and Martians. Why? Because apparently the world was just begging for this kind of Yuletide science fiction fantasy. So Jacobson, he calls up this writer called Glenville Merrith, right? Jacobson? Calling up Glenville Merrith. Okay. He's calling up Glenn to help him craft this masterpiece. And they hire director Nicholas Webster to bring this bad boy to life. The result? A 69-minute, definitely didn't feel like it, Christmas movie that has a very unique charm. I was trying to make the word charm sound like Martian. Charmshin. No, that sounds like a whole nother word. Anyway, the film stars John Call as Santa Claus, 10-year-old Pia Zadora as Germar, the Martian girl, and in her first film role, Doris Rich, as Mrs. Claus. And I was shocked to learn that this movie, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, is the first movie to show Mrs. Claus on the silver screen. Talk about herstory. And also, she's wearing purple. Purple? Ugh, I guess they didn't get the memo yet that Mrs. Claus is also supposed to be decked out in some bomb-ass Santa stuff, but no, she's wearing purple. Whatever. Okay, so let's talk about where this movie is made. I know, I'm like flying through this. Okay, I know, we're moving along here. We're moving along really quick, really speedy, all right? Take note, Glenville. All right, this is called pace and we're keeping it up. All right. So let's talk about where this movie was made. Because let's just say it's not like your typical Hollywood blockbuster. You could even say it wasn't a Hollywood blockbuster. So filming took place over just 2 weeks in a small studio in Long Island. You know what? Tracks. Makes sense. If anything, that makes me like it more for some reason. And it's obvious that it was made on a budget, you know, that probably couldn't even afford like a cup of cocoa, right? But hey, they did their best with what they had, which included colorful Martian costumes, a North Pole set, which I really liked. And I also really liked the Santa Factory. And I also liked the Mars Santa Factory. And again, the robot, the polar bear. They're in the North Pole. They really tried their fucking best with this movie. They gave us a set from top to bottom, from left to right, from back and close. It's like, ugh. It was so good. And I love those Martian costumes. And I thought everyone looked good, even though the paint job was really bad on a lot of people. But, you know, I liked it. But everything was on a budget. And I can respect that. And you know what? For a low budget flick, they did get creative with their set design. Yeah, for this low budget film, they got creative with their set design. And all of those awesome things that I was like listing earlier, they also made the great idea to shoot everything in color, which really brought out like these picturesque effects. And I thought it was really cool. Okay, so the movie is made. I couldn't really find too much about like production. How was it on production? I was looking up like, I was trying to like find interviews and shit. And I couldn't find interviews and shit. And usually I can find an interview for like a cult movie. Here's the thing. You're gonna be shocked. This movie wasn't exactly a big hit. In fact, it's regularly listed on, you know, like worst movie of all time lists. And it even made it to the IMDb bottom 100. You know what? People can't get enough of it. They love this shit. It is one of those films that it's so bad, it's good, and that's why it keeps getting featured on shows like Mystery Science Theater 3000, Cannes Film Festival, and Elvira's Movie Macabre. You gotta love it. Like, this is what the people want to see. That little soundbite. This is what the people want to see. This is what the people want to see. Not all the time. Maybe like once a year during the holidays. And here is some real magic of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. It turned out to be a cult classic. And also, not only was it a cult classic, but when it came out in 1964, it actually was in theaters. And it was kind of like the only other movie people could go watch that wasn't a Disney movie. And I think it was even advertised as like a Christmas movie that even like parents can sit through, which I don't know if they got it. I don't know if they sold that. But hey, it's fun. It's a fun movie. It isn't Disney. There's Martians. There's guns. And when I say guns, I mean guns. Like, yeah, they had some kind of like ray gun at one point. But when they were like holding up the children, those were like military grade, like earth guns. Anyway. It's one of those films that over the years, people have just embraced for its cheese and camp. There's even a musical version. I'm not kidding. In 1993, a stage adaptation hit the Factory Theater in Chicago, and it's become a local tradition performed every holiday season. They've got people dressing up in crazy Martian costumes, throwing in all kinds of goofy humor, and of course, bringing the holiday cheer. Okay, so that's basically the legacy of this movie. It's big. It has a cult following. It's creative. Someone put their heart and fart and ass and soul into this movie. And I see it. And the writing was bad, but it was just enough. If the writing is going to be bad, I'm going to need an emaciated polar bear. I'm going to need a cardboard, you know, robot. I'm going to need a spaceship. I'm going to need sets, costumes, sequins. I'm going to need it. And they brought it. And it inspired my little brain to come up with a few ideas and to ponder on a few things. And I just want to, like, ponder with you. I'm giving you puppy dog eyes. I'm like, is that okay? I'm going to go off script. And when I say off script, I mean no script. I don't know if I've told y'all, but I've done this before. And it's just always awful. So I'm giving it another shot. Oh, it is now 5 a.m. in the morning. So maybe I'm better now. Yeah, I'm better now. Okay, so Santa Claus versus the Martians. I think this movie was full of good ideas. I thought it was full of good ideas, fun ideas, fun ideas to just think about, fun ideas that I would like to see made into a movie. Okay, so I have a movie idea. You can steal it from me. I don't care. No, I care. Don't steal it. Especially if it's going to make, like, millions of bajillions of dollars, because I think I'm capable of making an idea that way. And maybe I do have a million bajillion dollar idea inspired by the movie Santa Claus versus the Martians. Crazier things have happened. Roman Polanski's still free and always on trial for doing something really gross. So the first idea that I had while I was watching this, you know when the Martians are first going to kidnap Santa, and this is before they kidnap the children. So they're like hitting up Earth, right? They're like looking at down at Earth and they're just like, where is Santa Claus? He is a fat man with a red suit and he's jolly. You know, like they're trying to find the guy that matches the description. And they keep seeing mall Santas, right? They keep seeing mall Santas and Salvation Army Santas. And then one of the Martians was like, I think Voldar said it. Voldar was like, let's just take one of them. Like, Earth has enough Santas as it is. Look at all these Santas. Like, let's just take one. They won't miss one Santa. And I was like, there's your movie right there. I was like, you should have taken one of the mall Santas, taken them back to Mars. And this mall Santa could be like a Billy Bob Thornton bad Santa. And then the bad Santa is taken to Mars. And then maybe Santa learns how to love. Maybe Mars is like the first place where he's actually accepted and he's actually treated with respect on another planet. And then the entire movie, he's like trying to go home, right? Billy Bob, Martian Santa, is like trying to go home the whole time. And then at the end of the movie, he realizes he was home all along on Mars. And then he stays there and he becomes the Mars Santa. And then, you know, Mars is just like so depressed, like it would work. Okay, that was the first idea that I had. Other ideas. I was like, well, what about the other planets? I'm looking at you, astrology babies. That's right. I am into astrology. I feel like how can you not be? Every time Mercury gets close to us, everything goes fucking haywire. I'm into astrology. I love astrology. Oh, you don't believe in it and you just have to tell me? I don't care. I think astrology has some weight to it. I have seen some stuff. I've experienced some things. And yeah, I got my beliefs and you got yours, baby. So the other planets, right? I'm like, well, what are the other planets doing? What are those kids like? What would that Santa Claus be like? So I'd like to start with Pluto. I'm not going to do every fucking planet because there's a lot. And I am tired. In a good way. I'm having fun. I wonder if my partner can hear this while he's like trying to sleep in the room next door. And he's just like, no, she really. Oh, boy. Because another person that is suffering from my burnout is my partner, because I'm just doing crazy things. that I normally wouldn't do, and I don't even know I'm doing crazy things, but he knows I'm doing crazy things. Whatever. Pluto. Okay, so Pluto. I love Pluto. Pluto is cool, especially like in astrology. Pluto is cool. Pluto like represents like what? Like the underworld in astrology, and that is sick. And also, so Pluto represents the underworld. So what are the children like? The children are like wafer paper ghost kids, like from Coraline. Yeah. I'm going to say that Pluto has a total of 6 children. And these kids are kind of everywhere all at once because they're kind of creepy. These children are creepy. These children are the children from Coraline. So their Santa has to be somebody that they would like. How do underworld children want to feel on Christmas? Well, they're probably going to want some like disturbing toys. The music is probably just like the sound of a black hole. Oh, it'll probably be snowy. It'll probably be icy, slushy, icy. What would Pluto's Santa be like? Would we go like an Addams Family route? Would it be Gomez? Because Gomez, you know, he has like personality. Or what if they have an Elvira? What if they have an Elvira? what if it is Elvira? Elvira would make a great Santa Claus for Pluto. Oh boy, that's what that is. Could you imagine her? Oh, she would hate it, but it would make it perfect. Oh, the kids would love her. Oh, those ghost, creepy ghost children would love her. I hope. Well, that's what they're going to have to deal with because Elvira, I'm assigning you to be Pluto's Santa Claus. Okay, who's next? Saturn. Okay, Saturn. Saturn in astrology. I'm also not like a really good, my astrology knowledge is very like surface level. I'm very new at it. So I haven't even gotten into like the super complicated stuff yet with astrology. And there's complicated shit to where I'm just like, oh, so we're just going to be rocket scientists. Okay. it's a lot about space. It's a lot about outer space. Anyway, Saturn. Saturn in astrology. I hear people call Saturn Daddy Saturn. Because Saturn, when it comes back into alignment with, I sound crazy, when it comes back, or when Saturn starts to reposition itself the same way it was positioned while you were born, when it makes its return like that, I know it's like your life gets flipped, switched like upside down. It's like a mental battle. It's crazy. It's your Saturn return. Everybody has it. Everybody goes through it. We go through it like more than once in life. Like we go through it. It's around 20 to 30, and then we hit it again, I think around like 50 to 60. I don't know. So Saturn in astrology, Saturn is like the teacher that you know is like good at their job, and you know you need this teacher so you can like pass your class and you can like move on with your life. But also you don't like this teacher, or it's just harder to work with this teacher because this teacher will not let you slide with anything for your own fucking good. Like this teacher will not allow you to cut corners because you cannot cut corners all the time. That's what Saturn reminds me of. But also like not a stickler, like just like somebody that's just like, you have to do it this way. I'm sorry. Like it has to happen this way. It's like for your own good. And then if you're not listening to Saturn, Saturn will make you listen. Plop you right on your ass and make you listen. Saturn energy is very important energy, but it's very powerful. So the children of Saturn, there's only one child. I would say there's only one child on Saturn, and that child actually runs Saturn. And this child, is a genius and is actually helping keep the adults in line. And the adults also trust the child because the child has a fresher take on life. And on Saturn, I guess that's important. And this little fake reality I'm making up right here on the spot. So this one child, does this one child need Santa? Yes, because all kids need Santa. if they want Santa. So, ow! Saturn. Saturn, Saturn, Saturn. You know what? Saturn, you have the same Santa as Mars. Let me explain. That would make that Santa very opposite to the kid on Saturn. Because imagine, like, the kid on Saturn needs to let loose. Who better than that dumbass Martian, right? Droppo. Like, when he's done helping the two kids from Mars, he can go over to Saturn to help the one kid. And that one kid can be like, oh, my God, you're covering two planets. That's not ethical. That's not logical, you know, or ethical. It's probably not ethical. But like, you know, like the Saturn kid would be like, wait, what? That just breaks some rules. And Droppo will be like, exactly. You need to break some rules, kid. You got to let loose. And then Droppo ruins the child by teaching him how to ruin his life. So that's Saturn. Venus, Venusian. Every time I think of Venus, you know, I just think of like the divine feminine. I think of the painting of the lady in the clamshell. I think that is called Venus, or is that Aphrodite? I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. I haven't spoken to her. Venus. I think Venus is full of just like beautiful children, and the kids are happy, and they are a part of society. They're a part of the community. They are chill. They help keep the peace. They help spread love and joy and all these beautiful things. So, I don't think Venus would like an opposite Santa. I don't think the children, unless it's Joan Jett. What if Joan Jett, I'm just picking celebrities. What if Joan Jett was the Santa Claus of Venus? I think that's perfect. Joan Jett is the Santa Claus of Venus? Could you imagine? Like, it's like, yeah, like, you know, like, don't forget your Venusian power. But also, like, you can get a little rough around the edges. You can be a little edgy. You can take a little peek into the dark side. Oh, my God. And then every year, like, Joan Jett doesn't give out presents because presents, you know, are like, maybe she'll give a gift here and there. But what everybody really wants from Joan Jett, Santa Claus, is her music. And so she has a big old concert on Venus every September. Oh, I would go to that. That would be sick. What other one? We got Mars, we got Venus, we got Saturn, we got Pluto. I think those are the planets that I think I am the most familiar with. All the other planets, I think I had to like research a little bit more in astrology just to get used to these like astrology personalities that they have. Oh, but astrology is fun. It's fun. Why ruin it for us? Leave us alone. And also, it checks out. Why are all of my astrologers right all the time? That's my experience with it. Anyway, it feels good to get that brainstorming out. I went off script and I think I had a little bit of fun. Ooh, all before 6 a.m. Insane. Oh my God. And I have to get ready for work. Shit. Okay, and now it is time. I think it's time to wrap this one up. I know. Yet another small, shitty episode from Lucky Damn Day. I'm sorry. But then also at the same time, I'm glad I'm letting loose a little bit. I'm glad I'm, you know, I'm happy with the problems that I have. Sorry. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Shut up. All right. That's my alarm. My alarm is advertisements. So, as I was saying, I am happy about the problems that I have. The problems that I have. I have too much work. I don't have enough time to prepare for my family who is coming to stay with me on Christmas. Oh my God, where am I going to find all the time to wrap all these presents that I got for people? The fact that I even got presents for people, this is insane to me. the fact that I could even get gifts for people, because I was like, that's not going to be happening for another couple years. Yeah, it's dire straits out here, babe. I am not living the life of the rich and famous. But no, still, I am very thankful for these problems. These are some like wholesome, festive issues to have. And I'm happy that I have them, and I can't wait to take care of them, and it's going to be a good time. And thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for being patient with me and allowing me to be burnt out and all this fun stuff. So let's wrap up Santa Claus versus the Martians. So let me tell you, Santa Claus versus the Martians, this movie has so much legacy. Right? From tongue-in-cheek novelization in 2005 to an attempted remake in 2022, which never happened. That's a crime. This, come on, 2002 was the year to do it. Jesus. 2002 to 2006, babe. Like, you could have. Ugh. Bah! Ugh. Early 2000s would have been perfect. Anyway, so either way you look at it, I think that a remake could happen in the future because Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is here to stay, baby. Oh yeah, it's here. It's not going anywhere. And if you're looking for the ultimate cheesy Christmas treat, pop this movie in, grab some popcorn, and make the popcorn like festive somehow, and like prepare to question everything you thought you knew about the holidays, right? And everything that you knew about holiday movies. When it comes to holiday movies and it's your turn to pick, pop this one in. Don't tell anyone anything and just sit back and enjoy the ride, baby. Oh, and don't forget to sing along to that catchy offbeat theme song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Santa Claus is coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love Santa Claus. Hey, hey, hey. Or whatever. All right. So there you have it. Santa Claus, Martians, and a whole lot of holiday madness. And if you've never seen it before, give it a watch. It is on Amazon Prime. I think it's like everywhere on YouTube for free. Like, it is shamefully on YouTube for free on multiple accounts. Like, you just type in this bad boy. I didn't even have to go to Amazon. I could have had a YouTube experience, but I didn't. I went to Amazon and I had an Amazon experience and it was pretty good. And if you've seen it already, I'm sure you'll agree. It's so bad. It's good. And that's exactly what makes it perfect for the holiday season and for me and for this category and for you. All right. That's all for today's episode of Lucky's really long list of movies. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you enjoyed this episode somehow. Oh, I read my sentence wrong. Give us a review if you like this episode. Give us a review if you like this episode and you think I deserve to keep doing this. And remember, keep your holiday spirits high and your movie choices delightfully weird. Until next time, folks, I'm Lucky Damn Day, and I will smell you later. I have to go to work like this. All right, bye.